Good morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to the Daily Punch brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, all eyes are on Speaker Mike Johnson. Number two, there's no deal on impeachment. What's next? And number three, the latest from the vault. All right, let's get into what is leading Punchbowl News AM this morning with this headline, Washington and the world wait on Johnson's move. If you're looking for the House Republicans' foreign aid bill, you're not alone. The GOP leadership hasn't yet released the package to send tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And as of late Tuesday evening, the House Appropriations Committee was still working on finishing the final text. But most importantly, Speaker Mike Johnson still doesn't have a deal on the rule to bring the legislation to the floor, according to senior aides. If Republicans release the bill at some point today and want to stay true to their 72-hour rule, the GOP leadership won't be able to hold a floor vote until Saturday. Then the Senate would have to act. This, of course, is a problem. There are congressional delegations scheduled to leave town this weekend for the scheduled congressional recess. Lawmakers also want to head back home to campaign. House leadership aides say they worry about attendance beginning to drop as the days go by. Yet, what's going on behind the scenes is even more problematic. So let's talk about that. What is taking so long? As we've been warning for a while, hardline Republicans may attempt to strip the gavel from Johnson if he tries to pass Ukraine aid. Representatives Thomas Massie, the Republican from Kentucky, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican from Georgia, have now both said they want Johnson to resign, or they'll seek to remove him from the job. Other hardliners are grumbling about the speaker but haven't yet signed on to a motion to vacate. When Johnson first floated his plan for a GOP foreign aid bill on Monday, the Louisiana Republican and his aides understood that they'd need votes from Democrats to get it across the finish line. Republican leaders presented Johnson's decision as a responsible move to get much-needed funding to embattled U.S. allies at a critical moment. The theory of the case in both parties' leadership was that Johnson would be able to remain speaker after Republicans and Democrats joined together to table a motion to vacate. It's not terribly sustainable politically, but GOP leadership aides appeared comfortable with the odd arrangement. Yet Johnson finds himself slipping into an old habit that infuriates his leadership colleagues and senior Republicans. He's taking meetings with all comers in the GOP conference, mulling different pathways to change his proposed plan in order to mollify the hardliners. To some inside Republican leadership, Johnson started with a solid offer and now is undermining his own position by negotiating with conservatives who will never vote for the proposed matter. The House Freedom Caucus has floated adding H.R. 2, the hardline GOP border security bill, to the aid package. They also want Israel or Ukraine funding offset with spending cuts or some budgetary gimmicks. Representative Jim Jordan has told lawmakers that Johnson should simply put a clean Israel bill on the House floor, no Ukraine funding, and send it to the Senate. Of course, none of this will work. Democratic leaders and the White House won't support it, making it very unlikely Johnson can pass a rule or the bill if a Republican is pressing to add H.R. 2 to the measure. They're trying to kill it. The question for Johnson is whether he'll mirror his strategy from the government funding fight. In that squabble, he listened to hardliners about cutting spending and then reverted to the obvious solution of relying on a bipartisan coalition to pass the bills. Or will Johnson cave here in order to save his speakership? Top Democrats want Johnson to release the bill, not worry about the 72-hour rule, and move as quickly as possible. All of these things are things that Johnson is going to have to deal with in the next hours and certainly days. And everyone is going to be watching whether or not he can figure out how to save his speakership. Can he get this bill across the floor? And what is America's position when it comes to some of our closest allies? Let's move on to the number two story of the morning. Senate GOP. There are divisions that scuttle the possible deal on a Mayorkas impeachment trial. Senators were unable to strike a deal Tuesday outlining the impeachment trial of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, setting up potentially a raucous proceeding Wednesday ahead of a likely vote to dismiss the charges. We scooped Tuesday night that there were several GOP objections to a time agreement that would have allowed 90 minutes of debate ahead of votes on two Republican motions, one to establish a full trial and another to create a trial committee. The deal would have then allowed Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to move to dismiss both impeachment articles. So here's what's next. The rejection of any time agreement sets the stage for a likely conservative revolt on the Senate floor. Republicans can and are expected to make points of order or parliamentary inquiries directed at Senator Patty Murray, who, as president pro tem, will be in charge of the floor. The expectation is that Murray would eventually deem those dilatory and recognize Schumer to offer a motion to dismiss the charges. GOP hardliners argued that hammering out a deal with Democrats, even one that gives Republicans time to make their case, essentially helps Schumer dispose of those impeachment articles more efficiently. So that is something we are going to be watching extremely closely. As there are GOP divisions, some Republicans argued during their closed-door lunch on Tuesday that their conference should accept this type of arrangement because if Democrats have the votes to bypass the trial anyway, Republicans would at least be able to make their case before that happens. This would also give the GOP a forum to bash Mayorkas and, by extension, of course, President Joe Biden over their handling of the border. All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning, the latest from the vault. We've got some news here. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Cynthia Lummis published the text of their much-anticipated stablecoin legislation this morning, and it's a move designed in part to nudge along separate negotiations in the House. The bill, formally dubbed the Lummis-Gillibrand Payment Stablecoin Act, would introduce a broad set of safeguards to a type of digital asset that's generally used to facilitate other crypto transactions. We've got the bill text as part of Punchbowl News AM. There's a lot to unpack in this approach, which is distinct from a 2023 effort from Gillibrand and Lummis designed to address the crypto sector more broadly. This stablecoin bill, among other things, would allow banks and non-bank trust companies to issue stablecoins through dedicated subsidiaries. It would ban unbanked algorithmic stablecoins, introduce capital and one-to-one reserve requirements, and direct the FDIC to develop a regulatory regime to address the failures of stablecoin firms, among other things. In statements, Gillibrand and Lummis said their bill would preserve the dual banking system by allowing for a mix of both state and federal oversight. Lummis said the bipartisan bill was, quote, critical to maintaining the U.S. dollar's dominance and facilitating financial innovation, while Gillibrand argued the bill, quote, protects consumers by mandating one-to-one reserves, prohibiting algorithmic stablecoins, and requiring stablecoin issuers to comply with U.S. anti-money laundering and sanction rules. The bill is complicated and weighty and will take time for Washington and Wall Street to fully digest. And with that, a reminder, we have an event tomorrow with Representative John Joyce, who's joining Punchbowl News Managing Editor Heather Cagle for an interview on the news of the day and how 5G supports America's global competitiveness. You can RSVP by going to our events hub at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.